This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Getting close to help keep the homeless warm this winter.
Hi, this is Per Fogring, host of Fight the Empire. Thursday, my guest will be journalist and author Pepe Escobar. We'll look at the fighting in Mali and a new global gold rush. The future of the dollar may well be at stake. That's Thursday, February 7th at 9:30 a.m. A talk with Pepe Escobar on KBOO, your radio station.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to sponsor the Portland premiere of Who Bombed Judy Berry at the Clinton Street Theater, Wednesday, February 13th. The film will play at both 7 p.m. and 9:15. This new documentary covers the 1990 bomb attack on two Northern California environmental activists, which still remains unsolved. The film is a compelling tribute to Berry, a fiery speaker whose background as a union organizer put her in a unique position to bridge the cultural divide between forest activists and rank-and-file loggers.
I knew it was a bomb the second that it exploded. I felt it rip through me with just a force more powerful and terrible than anything that I could describe.
Again, that's Wednesday, February 13th at the Clinton Street Theater. More information may be found at kboo.fm/Berry2013.
You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO Community Radio, and I am your host for tonight's evening and the host for the next four Wednesdays of this month, celebrating Black History Month. I am Sequoyna Wright, a KBOO volunteer regular. And tonight's special features Mr. Tariq Nasheed, who will talk a little bit about the relations between Black men and Black women. And we'll have three other guests for the next three Wednesdays on issues unique to the African diaspora. And like I said, tonight we have Mr. Tariq Nasheed, and I'll have him join in here in just a few seconds. And if we have enough time, we'll have callers call in and give their perspective as well. And you can call in to the studio at 503-231-8187. That will be the studio number that you'll call in after the interview. And if we have time, we'll go ahead and feature you in. All right? So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring Mr. Tariq Nasheed to talk more about tonight's topic: relationships between Black men and Black women. I have Mr. Tariq Nasheed on the line with us, and he is a bestseller of several books that he's put out in several years.
Yes.
And also has a very successful podcast, as well as a radio show that could be heard on his Mac Lessons Radio that you can find online. And I'm just happy to have you here, Tariq.
Hey, my pleasure. My pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And so let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about you, Tariq.
Well, I'm an author. I've written several relationship books. I've been an author for like 14 years, and I've had a few best-selling books out. And I do lectures all around the country, and I primarily do lectures about dating and relationships. And in those lectures, a lot of times I would talk about history and getting people to know who they are historically, so this would help them out with their relationships. And the more I would talk about that, a lot of people became more interested in that. So I wanted to now focus a little bit more on history, because people of color in particular don't really know who they are historically. And that has a lot to do with the way their relationships turn out. If you don't know who you are, you don't know how to handle yourself, and you don't know where to go. So I wanted to do something as far as history to really give people of African descent a perspective of who they really were. So we're not getting that history in schools. We're not getting it from television or other historical, so-called historical outlets. So I wanted to create something that Black people and people of African descent can really look at and take pride in without the same old slavery, civil rights rhetoric, which are very valid things in our history. But our history begins before civil rights and slavery. And when it comes to African people, that's never talked about. So I wanted to do that. And fortunately, it has become a very successful endeavor. But that's what I do. I've done other films. I have another horror film coming out. So I don't want to get typecast as just the history dude. Because a lot of times when a person does something like a film Hidden Colors, or they do something in a historical context, people will put them in that historical box. And I'm pretty multifaceted. I do many other things. I want to get into people's consciousness that no matter what walk of life you're from, doctor, lawyer, gangbanger, criminal, whatever you want to do, whatever your life choice is, just know who you are. That's my whole thing. You can be whatever you want. You don't have to walk around with the kente cloths on. You don't have to walk around with a turban or a fez. Just know your history. And that's my biggest concern.
Yes, definitely. And the good thing about why I'm putting on these specials for the next 4 weeks is because typically during Black History Month, we focus in on historical figures and things that have happened in the past. Like you said, you know, civil rights movements and, you know, and showing Black folks always constantly having to fight, and not that we're not fighting now.
And what they do in during Black History Month, we get, and no disrespect to any of the ancestors, but what they do, they start talking about very menial, minimal things that African people have accomplished, which, and again, it's valid, but it's almost a backhanded compliment. So for the whole month of February, we get to hear about what George Washington Carver did with a peanut. There's a Black man who made a light bulb, a Black dude who made a stop sign, which are valid, but those are non-threatening bones to throw at the Black community. That's not going to really, in the minds of people who put out this information, they think, okay, we tell them these little rhetorical, non-menial accomplishments, this is not going to spark any kind of revolutionary mentality in them. So it's a very safe and non-threatening way of teaching them their history.
Right. And like you said, no disrespect to our ancestors. Of course, you know, they paved the way to where we are today. But at the same time, when we're dealing with where we're trying to go now, moving forward, especially with 2013, it's like, okay, well, we know all this. Now what do we do? Now what do we do with this information? And where are we supposed to go moving forward? And that's why I wanted to bring you on to talk about where Black men and Black women today need to go in terms of, you know, being able to work with each other and have functional relationships. And before we get into that, I just want to tell you, Tariq, that I really appreciate not only the fact that you've put out several books, you know, such as The Mac Within, Player Be Played, and The Art of Mac and 10th Anniversary. You know, I appreciate that you have that aspect of yourself, but then you also put out something like Hidden Colors 1 and 2. Like, I really appreciate that you're doing that because, you know, in order to move forward, we've got to be able to understand where the African lineage started. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And absolutely.
Yeah. And so... So yeah, let's go ahead and let's touch on issues with the male and female species of the Black African nation.
Absolutely. The Black man and Black woman's issues are basically issues that the whole Black community has worldwide, and our biggest issue goes back to us bringing other people into our business. That's our biggest problem. That's been African people's biggest problem. Since 500 years ago, when Europeans went into Africa, they didn't go in there just snatching up people. They came in the middle of a rift between Black folks. So people have learned how to exploit our rifts between one another, and we keep making the mistake of letting people into our rifts when we should handle our business on our own. So
exactly.
Nowadays, and in our day and age, every time you look at television, we have the CNN, Black in America, How Come Black Women Can't Get a Black Man? We have all of these networks and people talking about our relationships, and they're not concerned with helping us. They're not concerned with creating remedies. They just want to keep the wedge going even further. And we have to stop letting people do that. We have to be able to dialogue among ourselves in a respectful way. We don't have to get around each other and brown nose each other and tell each other what we need to hear. That's not going to be constructive. We can have a dialogue about our differences, about our grievances, but keep it respectful. And that's my whole thing.
And let's touch on that a little bit. I mean, one of our issues when speaking in terms of Black men and Black women and being able to relate to each other, in your opinion and in your experience, what do you feel is the best way to create those respectful dialogues? You know what I mean? Like, how can Black men and Black women come together at the table and talk about our issues respectfully and, you know, and do it without having to be condescending or pointing the finger, you know? What do you think would be the best practices, in your opinion?
Well, number one, what Black folks have to realize, just because a white person or white people have co-signed you, that doesn't make you better. And that's a big thing between Black men and women. They have that little thing where a Black guy, if he dates a white woman, a white woman co-sign him, he'll start kind of talking down at the sisters as if he's better, as if he has accomplished something, and that's a mistake. Black women do the same thing. A lot of times when Black women get into the workforce or they get to work around white corporate America, they have a condescending thing towards the Black male as if, okay, I don't have to listen to you because I'm here. I have a foot in the establishment. So we all have to get off that nonsense because we're not in the door. Just because people outside the community co-sign us, that doesn't make one better than the other. They still look at all of us the same. Once you realize that, that will create a better dialogue because none is better than the other. We're not better than the other. We're the same people. So we have to come to the table on a level of equilibrium and understand that we're the same folks and we have to work out our differences and we're all we have. We're the only ones who are going to look out for the best interest of ourselves if we're going to progress because nobody else is going to do it.
And that's the biggest thing is progressing. And absolutely. I don't feel that, you know, the Black race, African race in particularly, is progressing with each other. No. I feel that we do allow ourselves to adopt the mindset that white people or people of European descent really do care about our struggles and we want to align with them and do what's right with them, you know, but not really understanding that that it's to the detriment of, you know, our communities, you know, our culture, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And also to get accepted, even to get your foot in the door in the white establishment, in a sense, you have to think like that. You have to take on somewhat of that mentality, and that mentality is to distance yourselves from a lot of black folks, because you have to show them, once you get into that establishment, that you're not like the others. That's why a lot of people, black folks who are successful, they really don't do anything for the African-American community. They go out of their way to not do things for the African-American community. This is why people are shocked that a film like Hidden Colors exists, and people always say, how come all of these athletes and entertainers and all of these people who've been out for years, how come they've never done a movie like Hidden Colors? How come they never put their money behind a movie like
yes.
Hidden Colors? And the answer is because they know on a subconscious level, if they're part of the establishment, they cannot offend the establishment. And they understand that black history outside of slavery offends and scares the establishment.
And I can definitely see where you're coming from on that.
Absolutely.
And I hope that our listeners that are listening understand that too. And I don't want anyone to think that this is a slight against anybody or anything like that. It's just
Of course not.
Yeah.
We're talking real talk right now.
Yes.
We're not saying anything to be offensive. Let's just keep it 100. People know, and sisters know this as well too. Black women know very well, because a lot of black women work in corporate America or work around corporate America. And most sisters know, if you go to work with your natural hair, or you have anything African about you, any kind of African memorabilia, that will make them uncomfortable. There are books out saying that black people should not, if you work in sales, that you should never wear anything African, or you should never wear anything resembling African culture, because on a subconscious level, this offends whites. Now, there are sales books that say this. So, and we don't need to sell books. We just know. Black people have to know, when you work in a certain environment, you have to intuitively feel people out and feel the kind of energy they give you when you act a certain way or when you dress a certain way. And black folks have to be cognizant of that 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. And I can definitely attest to that, because as a black woman who rocks I like to say locks. I don't really like to say dreadlocks, because there's nothing dreadful about my hair. But for my hair, you know, I wear locks. And when I go to interviews, I always feel the energy that they're like, okay, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, this is not your typical perm-wearing, weave-wearing, wig-wearing black woman. Okay.
Exactly.
there's a symbolism in that, you know. And
exactly.
And so I definitely can attest to that. You know, I used to hear it for years, you know, if black people wear their hair natural, you know, black men and black women wear their hair natural, and they show that they have a certain pride in themselves, it affects you being able to get that job or that position. You know what I mean?
That's well known in corporate America. That's
yeah.
very well known.
And I'm learning that, you know.
Absolutely.
So let's go ahead and take it back to now that we understand, you know, what affects us when we are not concentrating on, you know, better relationships and being able to have better dialogue between black men and black women. What do you feel, let's start with black women. What do you feel that we need to do to be able to work within, you know, work within this matrix, I'm just going to say it, work in the matrix, but at the same time, stay true to being feminine, being able to relate to black men without having to, you know, bring in the matrix. Like, you know, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know what sisters need to do? This is the biggest issue with sisters when it comes to relationship issues. Collectively, what sisters do, when people call out the ratchets, and, you know, we all know what ratchets are. It's a very small group of sisters who
yes.
have been psychologically dominated and damaged
mm-hmm.
by power of white supremacy. That's what a ratchet is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are several terms, and I don't want to sound too negative, but, you know, they use terms like hood rats and stuff like that. But people like that, they've been psychologically damaged by the system of white supremacy. And unfortunately, when people, brothers, try to differentiate the ratchets between the thorough sisters, a lot of times sisters will circle around the ratchets, as so to speak, and protect them, almost forming a sisterhood. And while doing this, the shrapnel gets layered on all the black women, because the stereotype of black women, that they're ghetto, loud, aggressive, and that's just not true. The loud and aggressive ghetto women, they're a small group, but they're just vocal, and they create a presence larger than what they really are. And again, that creates a whole negative stereotype for black females. And with black men, the same thing. The dusty dudes, they end up being the spokesmen for black men.
And when you say dusty dudes,
the dusty dudes who don't really have anything going on, these are guys who've been dominated by white supremacy. They're psychologically devastated and damaged by white supremacy to the point where they drop out of society to a certain degree and try to go underground. And the actions of these guys, we get labeled for that. Well, black men, we hear stuff where black men don't take care of their kids, black men don't want to work. It's those dusty dudes who do that. There are plenty of black men who take care of their kids and black men who want to work. But the thing is, with us black men, we will distance ourselves from those dudes. We go out of our way to try to distance ourselves from those guys. But again, we get these stereotypes labeled on us based on the actions of a few. So we have to understand how to keep the negatives from away from us. And that's our problem. See, the thing in the black community, we have to look at outside forces. A lot of people are lobbying against us. And unfortunately, within the community, there are people lobbying against our best interests. So black people have to be extremely perceptive. We can't let that perceptive eye go dull.
Mm-hmm. And also to add on to the quote unquote ratchetness and the, you know, what some would say, you know, the hood rats and, yeah, you know, in the straight ghetto, you know, and I hate using that word. I really
right,
do.
Right, right.
But on top of that, the black women that work in white corporate America and things like that, you have out of that the black feminist and the womanist, which you highly distance yourself from, that you have zero tolerance for. And you've also said in your past radio shows how the black feminists have ruined the culture of black people, and also have made it hard for black men and black women to connect. Talk a little bit about that.
Exactly. In our community, we have double agents, and that's been another problem. The reason why a lot of black people were not able to rise up during slavery is primarily because of the double agent black folks who sabotaged it. And these were men and women. The movie Django had a brother named Stephen, played by Samuel Jackson, who played a house coon. And unfortunately, that was a very real phenomenon during slavery. And they were very loyal to the establishment, and they would get information from the black masses and feed to the establishment in order for the establishment to oppress the black community. And this goes on with black men and women. And right now, the black feminist movement, that's been a major cancer in the black community, because the whole concept of black feminism is a contradiction. I always try to ask women who identify themselves as black feminists, explain your ideology. And no one can seem to explain their ideology. And also, if you get them to, or ask them to explain their ideology, you automatically get labeled as misogynistic for even asking. But I always ask, and any black feminist listening, what is your ideology? Why are you a black feminist? Black females' problem, your problem is not that you're a woman. In our society, your problem is white supremacy. That is the major problem. It's not patriarchy. And that's what a lot of black feminists like to yell about, because that's what white women were talking about. Patriarchy, oppressive patriarchy, was a very valid thing in the white female community, because the white man was in power. The white male power structure was in power. That's not applicable to the black community. The black community is not patriarchal. It hasn't been patriarchal for decades. It's not patriarchal now. That's why I would like to say to black feminists, what patriarchy are you talking about? We live in the black community is almost 100% matriarchal, very close to it. Black feminism is really about hatred of black men. There's something that happened in these women's lives that made them hate black men. Maybe they were molested. Maybe black men teased them as kids. But there's always a black male hatred within the black feminist movement. And that's something that they don't really want to address. So they try to make it political and create all of these straw man arguments that are not applicable to the black community.
Right.
And I always say to black feminists, you can tell that they're not about destroying patriarchy, because a lot of black feminists end up marrying white dudes or getting engaged to white guys or having white male fantasies or whatever. And really, it's black feminism is about hatred of black men, period.
So you would say that the black feminist womanist movement has put a strain between black men and black women having a productive, functional dialogue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, the black feminist movement really came out of the 60s. The second wave of feminism came out of the 60s, and the white feminist movement got their momentum from the civil rights movement. After the brothers and the people in the civil rights movement kicked open doors, they started signing bills for minorities, and minorities encompassed all types of people who were not really being oppressed like black people at the time. Minorities were not being hung. It was black folks. Minorities, they didn't have signs that said no minorities allowed, us, no blacks, no colors. The racism was very specific. But after the civil rights movement, a lot of they started calling people minorities. So a lot of people started running inside the door that black people kicked open. And the white feminist movement took advantage of that, and they got the sisters, black women, to co-sign that. And the ironic thing is, white feminists, they've never done anything for black women. They've never done anything for black women then, and they don't do anything for black women now. They don't even acknowledge black women in the white feminist movement. So that says a lot about the whole feminism and black feminism concept.
Okay. So to the sisters and brothers that are listening right now and are hearing that part that you just said, what do you think black women in particularly need to do to be able to heal? I mean, if it's true that a lot of the feminist movements come from whatever traumatizing thing that's happened in their lives, or, you know, who knows, maybe a lot of sisters have gotten tired of the objectification that's happened in rap and hip hop videos over the years, over the past couple of decades, you know.
Let me stop that though, because that's a cop out. That's a cop out. The sisters are not being objectified. A lot of sisters volunteer for that. Again, I always say when people use the objectified by hip hop videos, number one, these women, they line up to audition for those videos. Number two, whenever those hip hop songs come on saying be ho, be ho, be ho, these sisters run to the dance floor, and women buy these records more than dudes. Women are buying these records, women and white teenagers.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. And I agree with you there. You get no argument from me there. I mean, you can't objectify anyone that isn't willing. So I totally get you there. But in terms of when we talk about black feminism and the disconnect between black men and black women, a lot of them do use that as part of their reasoning for why they have resentment for black men. So, you know, what would you say though? I mean, what would you say to those women out there that that feel that way? And what would you say in terms of positivity to help them heal?
I would say really look at the root of what's really going on. Because again, we get into a whole bunch of rhetoric that's not true. When they start talking about rap videos, and the black man is messed up because of rap videos objective patriarchy, those are straw man arguments. They're not getting to the root of what's going on and what really drives that black male hatred. They got to get to the root of that and bring closure to that. And it's very painful to really dig into your past and get to the root of why you created a whole political ideology against a certain thing. It's very difficult to go back and say, okay, this is what happened to me. You don't want to relive that. So certain things in your subconscious mind are things that you try to block out. It's driving you socially. It's motivating you to do certain things, and you have to create justification for it. So instead of creating false justifications for it, because what happens is that we just keep going in circles and you're complaining about something that's not there. Again, if you create a whole political ideology about these black men, the patriarchy, black men, and black men are looking at you like, well, what are you talking about? You mad at us for something we're not doing. We're not running you. We're not dominating you in the household. You run the household. You run the community. So what are you complaining to us about? So we just keep going in circles instead of going to the root of what's going on. And a lot of brothers, too. I get on brothers' cases, too, because right now we have this black female bashing phenomenon. You look at YouTube,
yes,
and there's a whole bunch of videos of all these dudes hating on black,
yes,
women, hating on women. And that ain't cool either. That's a whole bitter thing going on that's not going to help you in the long run.
And I've inboxed you a few times about a brother on YouTube who's gaining a lot of momentum. He goes by the name of Tommy Sotomayor. And he a lot of his videos, you know, I tend to agree with him more times than not, in terms of how black women are conducting themselves and, yeah, you know, and the self-hatred that goes on with black women. And, you know, he's just one example of many brothers that are, you know, frustrated with black women, that are, you know, that is wearing their hurt on their sleeve, you know.
Right.
And
but the thing about Tommy in his defense, you know, Tommy, he is more of a comedic thing. So, you know, with him, there's always like a comedic element to it. So some of the stuff you have to take with a grain of salt. And there are other people on the internet that don't do it in the realm of comedy. There's not a comedic thing, and it's very dangerous, and it's a very angry thing. And there's a whole bunch of these cats. And unfortunately, what they would do, they would listen to some of my old shows, and I had a lot of critiques for a lot of black female behavior, and a lot of these dudes picked up on that, got some of the ideologies, and ran with it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can see a lot of those dudes regurgitating a lot of my old stuff, and that's why I say, oh, okay, I got to stop some of these cats, because that's not the direction I wanted them to go in.
Right.
That was not my intent. I don't sit up and bash sisters. My lady is black. My mom is black. I have a black daughter, so I don't, you know, that's not what I do. I'm all about constructive criticism on both sides and having real talk on both sides.
And that's basically what it is. And I really want our brothers and sisters, you know, black men and black women who are listening to this, to really take from this interview, and when they do their research on you and read your books and watch Hidden Colors, I really want them to take from your lessons that it's about constructive criticism. I don't want black women who identify with the black feminist womanist ideologies to think that it's about, you know, trying to put sisters in their place. And, you know, I'm a sister. You know, I'm a true sister to its highest to the highest extent. You know, and I can appreciate brothers who are trying to do exactly what you're doing. You know, give constructive criticism. You know, so that we can, you know, grow and become productive citizens and come to the table with other nationalities and other minorities, come to the table and say, look, this is what we have for our group, and we want to be able to work with you. We're not trying to assimilate or anything like that. We're just trying to work with you on these terms that we have. And so now, you know, I believe this is just my view, and I'm putting this out there, and I'm fine with that, because it's not no secret for people who know me. But for me, I really would like to see black men take the control in terms of bringing back what used to be in the black community, you know, love and relationship, the family unit, you know, being able to, you know, bring order and control in the community. I would really like to see the brothers take control of that. You know,
absolutely. I tell brothers all the time, because right now there's this whole thing where, and there's some black women who are responsible for a lot of stuff too, but a lot of brothers now want to place all the blame on the sisters about the rift that has been happening in the black community in the
right.
last 40 years. And a lot of it has to do with how relationships popped off in the 60s, where black women started to get certain benefits where they didn't need men in the home. So a lot of people point to that, and I'm one of the people who do point to that. But I still give the responsibility to the males, because women will naturally follow the man's lead. Not in an oppressive state, but in a leadership state. You follow a man who's a strong leader. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why women stay up in church all the time, because the preacher is a strong leader to a certain degree.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely. I do get on the brothers' cases about, you know, for not stepping up. A lot of men do play the subservient role. A lot of men now are not organized, and they don't want to be leaders in their families. And that's a major problem.
Very major problem.
I can go around the country and do lectures for women. I can get women's minds straight. Women will be thinking on the right track. Give me a month. I can tour around the country in 1 month, all the, if I'm just talking to the sisters, their minds will get right. The problem is they got to go home to a dude who's not a leader. They got to go home to a dude who wants a mommy instead of a wife, or mommy instead of a girlfriend. So now your mindset has to adapt to deal with that type of dude. And that is the problem. We got to get these dudes to think like leaders. And dudes are not thinking like leaders right now.
And when you speak on leaders, and let me make sure that, you know, I put it in context for those who are listening. When you say leader, you're not saying you're trying to, you know, do the caveman, I'm the ruler in this house. You know, you're not talking in that sense. You're talking in the sense of, you know, let's keep it real. You know, when you look at white communities and, you know, and the white power structure as a whole, you know, when you see white men being able to hold businesses and be CEOs, you know, there's a dynamic to it. You know what I'm saying? And they can still have that power and still be able to maintain homes. And it's not about, you know, trying to, you know, hit a woman over the head and make her think that she has to do everything that, you know, you want her to do. You know, a woman, like you said, a woman will follow if the man has a straight and narrow direction and it's a clear path and it's a positive. And it's leading down a path of upward mobility, and not just being and not just going along with just anything just because you're the man and you're the woman and you're supposed to do what I say.
See, the thing is, in any family, any kind of structure, any kind of society, the first rule of that society is security. If you have to maintain a society or a family, you have to have security. Just like in the United States, all of our money goes to defense, basically, securing the country to make sure it's safe from invasion. That's the number one thing that you got to look for first when it comes to maintaining a family or a society. Our society, the black community, it doesn't have that. Because the thing is, strength. The male, the man is security. The husband provides security. Mm-hmm. When you know that a man is there, a dominant leader is there, nobody's going to come in there and infiltrate that. Or they're going to be wary about doing that. The black community does not have that. This is why crime, molestation, every kind of dysfunction is rampant, because security is not in the home. This is why so much nonsense happens to black kids all the time. Different boyfriends coming in and out of the house, molesting the girls. All types of nonsense and garbage happens in our community.
Just drama.
Drama, because there's no security. The man provides basic security. That's what I mean, leadership. The man is at the head of the household, maintaining order, making sure that everybody's safe. That's number one. Because right now, the community, black women are in the leadership role in the community, but it's not safe. So black women are now depending on white folks for security, meaning law enforcement. And they're not looking at the best interest of that community. They're looking at the community as a moneymaker, because they're locking people up and they're making money off of the dysfunctions of the black community. So the sisters, you're still depending on a man. You're not depending on a black man, you're depending on a white man. And that has not helped you in the long run. So if you're going to depend on a man, you need to depend on your own man. That's my whole point.
Okay. So now let's talk about present time and moving forward in this new year, 2013.
Yes.
In your opinion, what are things that black women should change in 2013? And what are some things that you think black men should change in 2013?
I think sisters should be more conscious of who they are. They should learn more about their history and embrace their history, embrace their Africanness. And because, you know, in our day and age, especially out here, I live in L.A., I live in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, not just in L.A., it's very prominent here, but all over the country, some black women, you talk to them now and they won't even admit being black. You meet a woman and you're like, hey, sister, oh, I'm not black. I'm Dominican. I'm not black. I'm Belizean. I'm not black. I'm Puerto Rican. So if that right there, if you go into a situation with a person with that mentality, it's going to go straight to hell in a handbasket, because if they're not accepting who they are, they're not going to really accept you, or they're just not going to accept reality. So we got to let sisters know that it is a positive thing to embrace who you are. I understand that if we look at images of ourselves, especially sisters on television, we don't have too many positive images. Every time you turn on a TV, you see the hip-hop wives loving this, loving hip-hop that, housewives, and just, well, sisters acting ratchet on television without any kind of balance.
Right. And so, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to put positive sisters in my documentary. Michelle Alexander, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, Shahrazad Ali, women like that. And we need to know that women like that exist. So we have to get a historical perspective. We have to, again, get sisters to understand and embrace our history, so we don't have sisters walking around in blue contacts and blonde weaves.
Blonde weaves. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, growing up, and a lot of my listeners who are listening who are familiar with me, and those of my listeners who are not familiar with me, I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. Originally, yeah. grew that's where I grew up at, and you know, and believe it or not, you know, I grew up with a lot of my sisters who were rocking at the time, you know, blonde braids and you know, things like that. And, you know, and growing up, I never understood that. Like, it just doesn't look right. Like, it just, it's, right. You know, it's not natural. Why would you want to put that in your hair? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, some sisters look good with it. Like, you know, I ain't gonna lie, you know, we're gonna, you know, talk about Mary J. Blige.
Right.
You know, since everybody knows, pretty much know who she is, right. You know, some people can get away with it, you know, and if you do it tastefully and it's every now and then, it's okay, you know, because right. If you had sisters, you had sisters back in the 60s and 70s that were walking blonde and, you know, blonde hair, you know, every now and then. Yeah. So, you know, tastefully, it's understandable. But, you know, but as the answer to, you know, black femininity and beauty, that should not be the standard. So I had to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, and the thing is, so much emphasis is placed on that, trying to get the weave and take your Africanness away. And what's ironic about that, right after slavery, when slavery was over, after Reconstruction, during the early 1900s, one of the first black women or black people, period, that they made a self-made millionaire was Madam C.J. Walker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Instead of black scientists, they made a hairdresser a millionaire.
Setting the tone, right? Setting the tone for...
Set the tone. That showed you where black people's mindset was. And that's no disrespect to the sister, Madam C.J. Walker, because I'm all about black businesses. But that just showed you the mindset of people, where their mind was. We're going to use our money to build up a infrastructure to change the way we look.
Yeah, and I have, at the last Wednesday of this month, have Dr. Claude Anderson, who will talk more about, you know, black economic and power. So that will be interesting to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
And what about, what do you hope Brothers will change in 2013?
Brothers are going to have to stop being scared. Brothers are going to have to stop being fearful. Brothers are going to have to stop playing around and stop taking out their anger and energy on each other. Because the thing is, in all society,
yes, thank you.
people take out their anger on the person, that they believe less than them or lesser than them. In society, abused people become abusers. And many whites were abused in this country when the United States first started. A lot of whites who are whites now were not classified as white. A lot of white immigrants, European immigrants, they had to go through the ringer. So they were abused. And once they got in, once they were able to be classified as white, they would take out their abuse on other people of other cultures. They would take out their abuse on black folks. And then when sisters got their foot in the door, they would take out their abuse on black men. The last 40 years, we've had that color purple waiting to exhale mentality. But the black man ain't this and the black man ain't that.
Right.
Out of that.
Even though I love my waiting to exhale, I ain't going to even lie to you. I love my waiting to exhale.
Exactly. All that black male bashing was prominent in the late 80s and 90s. Oh, we had it. And then with brothers, there's no one beneath the brothers to bash. So brothers end up bashing each other, and that ain't helping nothing. We have to understand what it is. Black men have to understand we all we got. We got to have to man up and say, okay, it's time to build an infrastructure. It's time to pool our resources together. We got to start getting businesses, and we got to start taking our leadership roles. We got to stop being grown teenagers. That's not working
right.
for us. before.
Yeah, grown teenager. That's a good way to put it. And, you know, and I would like to suggest to, you know, our sisters is that, you know, let's scale down a little bit. Like, let's not think that we have all the answers and that we can do it without the black man. I'm totally against that. And I'm not against, you know, putting any other minority or anybody else down to be able to do this, because we don't have to do that. And history has shown. And if people take a look at your, you know, your documentaries, Hidden Colors 1 and Hidden Colors 2, and I'll, you know, on side note, I haven't watched it yet, but I plan on watching it next weekend with a friend. So I'll give you feedback on that. But, you know, if we watch things like that and we understand that we don't have to be, we don't have to live in this ratchetness that we're living in, you know, we don't have to, you know, think that the black man is against us, or that he is long. Like I said early in this conversation, as long as black men have a clear cut goal on where they're trying to go to build community, to build businesses, and they're not putting any sisters down. Sisters are going to be down, because there have been sisters in history that have been down for the black man. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And we need to figure out how to recircle that and bring that back without having to, you know, rehash all the old drama and the hurt and pain. You know, I'm all about moving forward. And in order to do that, you got to learn how to let that kind of stuff go. And let's talk about where we are now today. You know, so we're getting close to the end, and I just want to, you know, again, let our listeners know, and especially our black brothers and sisters, know who they have been listening to. Mr. Tariq Nasheed, also known as Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex, and the books that you have out, The Elite Way, The Art of Gold Digging. The Elite Way is 10 rules men must know when dealing with women, The Art of Gold Digging, The Mac Within, Player Be Played, and the 10th anniversary of The Art of Macking.
Yes, indeed.
And also Mac Lessons Radio, which I'm not exactly sure. How often do you do your Mac Lessons Radio?
Yeah, I do it every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Yeah, and then you can listen to the archives. It's like hundreds and hundreds of shows on there, so a lot of good archive stuff. So I do it every Wednesday, maclessonsradio.com. And I'm going back on the road. Y'all can go to Tariq Live. I'm doing a lecture in Chicago, March 2nd, a real big lecture out there.
No fair. I want to go. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to whine.
Yes. That's tariqlive.com. And hiddencolorsfilm.com. That's where you can get the movie Hidden Colors, hiddencolorsfilm.com. Right now, it's in the top five best-selling history. Well, it's the number one history documentary on Amazon right now. And it's in the top five best-selling documentaries, period, right now. So it's doing very, very well.
Yes, and I've seen short clips and things like that. I just haven't had the time to, you know, sit down and watch it, because I don't have a TV and none of that. I read and I watch your archive things. So you know, so I don't really have time to watch movies like I would like to, but I'm definitely going to watch Hidden Colors, and it's getting around. It's definitely getting around, and it's getting around to people that I didn't even think would have it, you know, or are even familiar with who you are. So it's wonderful to know.
When it was in theaters in December, I mean, it was sold out of every theater around the country.
Here in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We I didn't know there were black folks out there in Portland.
I hear that all the time. And the black folks that have grown up and lived here all their lives, they get that all the time, too. So, yeah, but we're here. And that's why I wanted to bring you on and bring other couple of brothers around that are, you know, primarily in the East Coast and things like that. Bring you guys on here to, you know, let you know that we are out here. And a lot of us do pay attention to your work, such as myself.
I appreciate that.
Yes. And I appreciate you, Tariq. I really, really enjoy having you on tonight. I think that a lot of folks are going to appreciate what you do. And even if they don't, you know what? As my father would tell me, those people are just going to have to fall along the wayside, because we're all about upward moving and doing what we need to do to make us a better class of people, if you will.
Absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to add?
That's it. Just check out the website. Check out HiddenColorsFilm.com. You will enjoy the film. And again, black folks, we have to understand we all we got. When that sink in, just realize that we are all we got. We got to do for each other. We got to do for our community. We got to practice group economics, and we got to teach ourselves. Nobody else is going to do it for us. Once you understand that, you'll be all right.
And sisters, I'd just like to say that, you know, put your ego aside and let's really, truly work with the brothers on a real real level.
Absolutely. And this is not hating anybody. It's not about hating anybody.
No, not at all.
Calling. It's none of that at all. Everybody else, they practice self-preservation. They circle the wagons in their communities and look out for each other. And they do business with others. But at the end of the
right.
day, they look out for themselves first. So we're going to have to start doing that.
I agree. Well, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, thank you so very much. We're going to go ahead and...
City a few months ago, and the garbage and the trash men were on strike. I'm talking about the maintenance people for the city. What they were trying to do was they were trying to get a little more money, you know, get a little raise in pay. But at that particular time, the city was broke. They were about ready to declare default. I tell you, the garbage in some places was stacked up 2-3 stories high. At night, boy, at night it wasn't even safe to walk the street, you see, because the rats, the roaches, and the water bugs, I mean, they were hustling, baby, trying to get something easy. And let me tell you something, it was stinking, boy, and there was all kind of disease in there, you know? But it only brought to mind the fact that you can no longer depend on the man downtown to take care of business like he's supposed to, when he's supposed to. In order for us to get it like it's supposed to be, as far as cleanliness, you know, and safety, we got to get together and do it for ourselves. That's the only way it's going to be done. And you know what I'm talking about? Let me tell you what I mean.
Thank you for tuning in for tonight's Black History Month special with Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Mr. King Flex, also known as TN. Mr. Tariq Nasheed, y'all. I hope that you enjoyed his interview and enjoyed the conversation that we had. Tune in next Wednesday where we will talk more about the African diaspora, and the topic will be on music. So join me again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and we will do what it do. Anyway, if you have been tuning in and enjoyed it, thank you. I appreciate you tuning in, and I hope the message got through, and I hope that we come together to work with each other and do the right thing. You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM, also heard on the online around the world at www.kbu.fm. Thanks, y'all. I'm your host, Miss Sequoia Wright, and I'll see you next Wednesday.
Thank you. KBOO Community Radio is proud to help sponsor the third annual Perfect Pickle Contest, a benefit for the Dill Pickle Club and their mission of broadening knowledge of Portland's past, present, and future. The Pickle Contest will be Tuesday, February 12th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Union Pine, 525 Southeast Pine in Portland. 10 local chefs will participate in the pickle-making contest. There will be live music, presentations, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm/perfectpickle2013.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud media sponsor of Organicology, the Northwest's largest gathering of the organic food trade. Study the organic industry and shape the future of sustainable eating. February 7th through 9th at the Hilton, 921 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland. Again, that's Organicology, February 7th through 9th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/organic2013.